This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
We have arrived to Friday. Welcome in. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you tonight all the way until 8 o'clock. Full two-hour program this evening. We've got a lot going on this show. A number of guests. Kevin Ryan's going to join us in just a few minutes, in about 10 minutes from Channel 2 and Channel 11. Later on this hour, we're going to talk with Ariel Epstein. She is big in the sports betting world, hosts the Prop Queen Sports program, and want to talk to her a little bit about the NBA scandal that came out yesterday. More specifically, should we be changing anything about the way sports gambling is? I've seen some things today that prop bets need to be more restricted. Is that something? Is there actually value to how much legalized sports gambling that we have right now? Because it was able to catch some of these things where if everything was under the table, it'd be tougher. We're going to talk with Ariel at about 6:35. Next hour, we're going to talk with Jason Langendorf about Illinois football as they've got a big one coming up tomorrow. A huge opportunity for the Fighting Illini as they take on Washington. And it is Friday, so that means it is our weekly conversation that we play back with Patrick Mahomes that he has with Carrington Harrison of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan. So that's what's going to be coming up on the show today. As always, if you want to get involved in the program, you can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call, that's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are watching on the video stream, we welcome in all of your comments, and we'll address some of those as we go along through the night. Tonight is the night. It feels like we've been waiting for this for like 2 weeks. The World Series is finally getting underway this evening. I talked earlier in the week, I don't need to repeat myself, about how dumb it is that we have to wait this long to get to the World Series after the respective championship series come to an end. But such is life. Doesn't matter anymore. And we are about an hour away from the World Series getting underway with the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. I think this is an interesting series. The easy choice here is that the Dodgers are going to win it. In all likelihood, the Dodgers are going to win it. On paper, the Dodgers are the better team. But when you do have a series like this, you start to look at it and say, okay, so what is it going to take for the upset to occur? For the Blue Jays to come away with the win, what has to happen? And for me, it's a couple things. First off, I think tonight is really, really important. Because if the Blue Jays can find a way to beat the Dodgers tonight and maybe get into the bullpen a little bit early tonight, and you've got Blake Snell on the mound coming off just an absolute, you know, nails of a performance his last time out. That being said, a lot of times you see guys go deep into games. They don't go as deep the next time, so maybe that's an opportunity for the... I'm squinting here to try to find opportunities and good things for the Blue Jays, but perhaps that is one of those. If they can get Snell out of the game a little bit early tonight and get to the bullpen, and then that can have some residuals effect as the series moves forward, it's harder to have the extreme residual effect because there's just so many off days as the series goes along. You'll play 2 days and then you have an off day. So essentially you're able to reset your pitching. But the Dodgers, throughout this postseason, they've not really been pushed from a bullpen perspective because what their starters have been able to do, especially in that NLCS against Milwaukee. And if Dodgers pitching against Toronto looks like it's even in the same neighborhood as what it looked like against Milwaukee, Blue Jays don't have a chance. The opportunity for the Blue Jays here is to get into the Dodgers bullpen. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that's going to be the thing that I'm really going to be looking for. Bo Bichette has returned. He's been dealing with a bit of a knee issue, and he's probably being pushed a bit, but he has returned. He's going to play second base, a position he has never played in the big leagues. He's been a shortstop. Now, he's played second base in the minors, not a ton of time at second base in the minors, but it's not like this is his first ever professional game at second base. It is his first ever big league game. I think you do this, though, because there's going to be people who give you the reasons not to do it. Maybe he's still compromised physically. Maybe his production isn't going to be there. Maybe second base is something that he's going to struggle with, or he's going to make some mistakes over at second base. Guess what? You put all of that off to the side when you can bring an 840 OPS in. And that's what he had a great year. In 139 games this year, he hit .311 with an .840 OPS. This guy was just somebody. He slugged .483, on base .357. Like, just did everything well. Not a huge home run guy. It was fine at 18 home runs, but somebody who put together a really solid year. And for you to add that bat right in the middle of the order, that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about trying to get the starter, Snell, out as early as possible. That just lengthens the Blue Jays lineup that much more, and it's a gamble that clearly is worth it. I'm also excited for the World Series to get underway because the World Series starting also means the World Series is closer to ending, and once the World Series ends, we get to the baseball offseason, and that's where we get to start to really watch what's going to happen with the Cardinals on what we expect to be a very busy offseason, and an offseason where they're likely to move on from some players that have been around for a while. But the makeover of this roster, I think, begins this offseason, and we finally are able to get to that once the World's... Not that we never see what I think free agency opens up 5 days after the World Series ends. We never see, it's not like the NBA or the NFL or anything where all of a sudden everybody's jumped, because those leagues have salary caps. So there's a finite amount of money to spend. So if you don't spend your money, you don't really have the opportunity to do so. In baseball, there's not that urgency to sign players because there's no salary cap. So more often than not, the baseball offseason doesn't get really chugging along until we get into December and sometimes January and even into February, right before spring training is going to get underway. We are going to take a break, and when we return, we'll talk with our friend Kevin Ryans. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on from a college football perspective in the area this weekend. Both Missouri and Illinois have huge games, really for different reasons, but huge opportunities for both Missouri and Illinois. We'll talk a little St. Louis Blues hockey with him as well. I was so frustrated, especially watching that first period of that Blues game last night. The inconsistencies are there right now for a team that's expected to be pretty darn good. Kevin Ryans joins us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX, taking you till 8 o'clock tonight. Still on the way this hour, we're going to talk with Ariel Epstein in our next segment. We'll talk through the NBA betting scandal and the arrest that happened yesterday and what can happen from a sports gambling standpoint to try to deter these type of things from happening moving forward. Right now, we're very happy to be able to go to the guest line, talk with our good friend. You see him on Channel 2 and Channel 11 as a reporter and anchor. He is Kevin Ryans. Kevin, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
Matt, my guy, my brother, how are you? You know, I heard that you're going to have my friend Ariel Epstein, a fellow Syracuse grad and someone that I went to school with, on a little bit later. So I'm excited to hear what you guys talk about. That NBA scandal is crazy. Oh,
so you guys were in school at the same time?
During the same time. She graduated a year ahead of me over at Syracuse.
Okay.
So we crossed paths a ton. So proud of her. She's had such a great career, especially in the betting world. So what a career she's made for herself. So I'm proud of her.
That's kind of funny. I had originally reached out to Kelly Stewart, who's at Kelly in Vegas on social media.
They're like best friends.
Yeah, Kelly and I went to college together, and we were the same year. So that's why I reached out to her. So it's fun. She wasn't able to do it, and she got me hooked up to talk to Ariel. But that's funny that you went to college with Ariel, and I went to college with Kelly.
Interesting. The small worlds for everyone.
Yeah, it certainly is. Let's talk through the Blues a little bit here, because it was a frustrating night last night. They got down big in the first period, and to their credit, they fought back, but they were just in too big of a hole. They couldn't come all the way back. And Kevin, they're having a hard time, especially at home. They're giving up a lot of goals. Goaltenders are not stopping shots. Like, what's your overall takeaway right now on what's happening with this Blues team still very early on in the season?
Well, the team says it best. It's just inconsistency. I mean, that first period, I was in the building last night, and in the first period, I mean, they just were so flat. And Utah was able to take advantage of all that. But then in the second and third period, you saw all the high effort, the intensity ramp up. And, you know, much like their win against Dallas or their two road wins, you know, the play was much better. And so it's a concern, because, you know, you can't just fall behind games and try to see if you can will your way back. You know, Pavel Buchnevich last night, you know, if you're going to continue chasing games, you know, it's going to be a really tough season for you. So the Blues have to figure out how to, you know, be much more consistent and how to start games so much better. I think a lot of it, you know, they played a full 60 minutes like they played in the second and third period last night, then I think we're talking about a much different Blues team and a much different game.
Yeah, and so much focus before the season even got started on this team having a good start because of how many home games they had in the early part of the season, and it feels like they've kind of wasted that opportunity. Even with a couple more left on this homestand, they have not done what they've needed to do.
And isn't it weird, because last year home was the big reason why they were able to get back into the postseason. They took advantage of those games and won however many in a row, whatever it was, 15 straight games to end the season, 12 straight regular season games, whatever the number was. It was a long win streak in the double figures, you know, and it's just so bizarre to see them struggle like this. I wonder if it's getting into their heads. That's a very real possibility, you know, the pressure to be able to perform in front of the home fans, not getting it done, people being restless in the building. You could definitely hear it during that first period. Mm-hmm. And then when the Utah got a 5-2, and then when they eventually got up, you know, a big late, you can hear the restlessness in the crowd. I wonder if that's getting to them a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. They've got to get it turned around here sooner than later, playing in this division and in this conference. We're talking with Kevin Ryans from Channel 2 and Channel 11. Let's jump over to college football. Huge games tomorrow for both Missouri and Illinois. The Missouri going to Vanderbilt, the eyes of college football will be upon them with College Game Day being there. And in many ways, this feels like almost a college football playoff elimination game, or it certainly makes things a lot more challenging to get to the playoff for both Missouri and Vanderbilt. This game has huge implications for both of these teams.
Yeah, and I've been one to say that, you know, I have not been the most impressed with Missouri's wins. You know, we're talking about games in the early portion, Central Arkansas, Louisiana, Kansas is okay. You know, the front part of their schedule wasn't very strong, and so Mizzou has to make it count here in the SEC. Now, I thought last week was so impressive for them to go to Auburn. That's a tough team. That's a team that's lost four straight games against SEC-ranked opponents by one score or less. So that wasn't an easy game. And Mizzou, you know, they took their punches. They kept fighting, and they were resilient and came away with a gritty, tough win. And even the Alabama game, they showed me something. You know, having the ball at the end there, driving potentially for the tie or for the win, that showed me that they can compete with the top of the SEC, but it's these games that they have to win. They have not won these games. These games against top 15 opponents, top 10 opponents. That's those are the wins that they've been missing over the last few years, and I need to see it from them. You know, this week against Vanderbilt, you're so right in your point. I think that if they don't take care of business this week, I don't know where the wins are going to come from. Towards the end of the season, in terms of, you know, if they can be able to corral enough wins to be able to continue to be in the college football playoff conversation.
Yeah, it has been quite some time since they have beat a top 10 team on the road. I mean, that's true about most teams in college football, but the last time they beat a top 10 team on the road was October 12th of 2013 when they went to Georgia. If we're going to lift this Tigers team up, and I think they have earned us lifting them up, they do have to come away with wins like this. And with all due respect to Vanderbilt, I'd rather be facing off against a top two. You have a better chance to beat Vanderbilt as a top 10 team than you do probably a Georgia or an Alabama, just from an environment standpoint. I'm not trying to take shots at Vanderbilt, but it's not the same.
It will be a tough game though, Matt. I mean, Diego Pavia, their quarterback, I mean, the improvisation, the ability to be able to make something out of nothing, find his receivers, find the gaps in the between the tackles and going out and running for touchdowns. You know, Mizzou's faced a lot of mobile quarterbacks this year, to name a few, Jalen Daniels and Lenora Sellers. But none of them can improvise like Diego Pavia can. He's smart. He has great connection with his receivers. That's going to be a tough game defensively for them. And Mizzou's offense is going to have to go toe-to-toe with them. You're definitely right. You don't want to bring down Vanderbilt because that's a game that it's going to be really tough for them to win, especially on the road.
Finish you with this. Illinois, they've got a big opportunity this weekend. They're going to take on Washington. Right now for Illinois, it's not just about winning games, but it's, you know, impressing on their resume because their two losses are against, you know, two of the top teams in the country in Ohio State and Indiana, but neither of those games was overly competitive. So now a chance to, even though they're not ranked, Washington is good going on the road to Washington. If you can win that game, that's a game that probably helps you out at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think Indiana where they are, Ohio State where they are, losing to those teams isn't as much of a red flag for them. Obviously, you want them to be a little bit more competitive in the games that they played, but there's still an opportunity there where if they can clean sweep the rest of the way and win some of those in some of those tough road environments, beat some of the rivals on there, some of the top teams in there, I think you can make a conversation or you can make an argument that that Illinois could potentially get make their way into the college football playoff conversation. You can't sell me on it right now. Just because of the two duds that they had against Ohio State and against Indiana. But, you know, if you ask the Illinois players a couple weeks ago, you know, they seemed pretty confident in what this team could do. And I'm hoping that in a tough road environment, they could prove that against Washington.
He is Kevin Ryan's. Are you a Jets guy or a Giants guy?
Oh, my, you're not going to do this to me now, man.
You're a Jets guy. I can tell by that answer. You're a Jets guy.
It's so bad. I did a commentary. They should start Brady Cook. What do you have to lose at this point? Justin Fields, he got called out by the owner. Tyrod Taylor has no future. Brady Cook, the St. Louis and the Chaminade grad, the Mizzou product. Put him in. Why not, Aaron Glenn? Let's see what you got before you have to waste another draft pick on another quarterback destined to fail in the Jets chaos.
Well, they should also just go ahead and deactivate Aaron Glenn's key card as well.
Oh, no. He's a beloved Jet. I liked Aaron Glenn. As a little kid, he was still on the Jets as a player, one of the best cornerbacks in their history. I really hope this week they can finally get his first win as head coach.
We'll see. All right, Kevin, great stuff. Folks can, of course, see you on Channel 2, on Channel 11. Official Kev Rye is the Twitter handle. Thanks for the time. Have a great weekend, and I hope to see you real soon.
Yes, Matt. Thank you so much, brother.
You bet. That's Appreciate Kevin Ryan's joining us here on the program. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we're going to dive into a little bit more with the NBA gambling scandal. But the angle I want to take is there anything that can be done to make sure that this stuff is not happening? We're going to talk with Ariel Epstein. She joins us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. There has been a lot of attention on sports gambling in the last day or so after the FBI arrested a number of people connected to the NBA, and now all of a sudden sports gambling and its impact on sports is front and center. Wanted to talk with somebody who's in that world to kind of get their thoughts on if changes need to happen, be made, if actually the prevalence of sports gambling maybe helped bring some of this stuff to light. We're very happy to welcome on the program right now. She is known as the Prop Queen. She is the host of the Prop Queen programming and podcast. She is Ariel Epstein. You follow her on Twitter at Ariel Epstein. Ariel, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm great, and I just found out that you had Kevin Ryan's on before me. I went to college with him. It's such a small world.
Okay, so this is the crazy part. I got your contact info from Kelly at Kelly in Vegas, who I went to college with at K-State, and then we just had Kevin on, who you went to college with. So, like, this whole thing is connected right now.
All through college.
Yes.
Syracuse University connected to K-State. Who would have thought?
Yeah, there you go. What was your reaction to what happened yesterday? Like, as somebody who's so connected to the sports betting world, do you feel like there's a lot of stuff going on that we don't know of, or was yesterday a surprising thing for you?
It wasn't surprising at all. I mean, obviously, it's surprising when you find out who it is and what they were doing and the mafia connections and how deep this went, and we don't even know how deep it's going. I'm not surprised because this has been going on for years. I don't mean this particular scenario. In general, in the gambling space, pre-legalization of gambling, this went on. I don't understand why everybody is up in arms like, oh my gosh, this is the legalization of gambling. It's out of hand. It's only the media hyping this up because of the legalization of gambling, not vice versa. This has happened for so many years in so many places with so many groups, so many athletes. We're acting like the NBA is the first, and it's only the first time that we're up in arms because it's actually not just about sports gambling and insider trading like the way that we saw with the Cleveland Guardians and Calvin Ridley in the NFL. There were two Cleveland Guardians players that were suspended from Major League Baseball, Luis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase, one of the best closers in baseball up until the playoffs last year, that have been suspended due to gambling. But yet, what makes this so serious and why the government is involved has actually nothing to do with sports gambling and more to do with being involved with the mafia and rigging poker events that were illegal.
Yeah, that part of it and the fact that the mafia is involved, it's very unsettling when you see a Chauncey Billups, who we all have seen around basketball for so long, and Terry Rozier has had such a long career in the NBA. When we see them being arrested by the FBI and walking into court, I think those images as well, those are startling, and that brings a lot of attention to it as well. One of my big points has been, if everything outside of what's happening in Las Vegas would be happening, you know, under the table, if there was a lot of illegal sports gambling going on right now, more so than the legalized side, we'd probably, a lot of this stuff could happen without it being flagged. How much is the legalization of sports gambling, these various companies involved in it, their connections to the sports leagues and also authorities, how much has that allowed them to kind of be able to flag things and catch these things more so than it would have been done previously?
It absolutely helps a ton to catch these things. I'll even tell a story without any details. So I've worked with a lot of former professional athletes before, not current, but former. They've all told me, and these were former athletes from being pros 20, 30 years ago. They told me there were multiple meetings. Obviously, 20, 30 years ago is pre-legalization of gambling outside of Vegas. They told me there was multiple meetings between players and commissioners because of gambling, which, you know, prior to 2017, when PASPA got repealed, any form of gambling outside of Vegas was essentially illegal, unless, of course, you were like at some kind of tribal reservation or whatever. But these athletes were getting brought into the commissioner's office. They were getting caught, and they didn't want it, obviously, commissioners, to come out of the leagues either, because it's completely illegal to do. And there were a lot of just private conversations like, hey, stop doing this, we're on to you. But now, because these things are talked about and gambling's talked about, I got involved in 2019 on the professional side of media in the gambling space. So many people said, how are you getting involved in this dirty business? I said, what do you mean? I've met great people here. It was still dirty in 2019. 2020, people said it was dirty. Now it's become a mainstream thing. So with mainstream things, you can talk about it more. And just having that conversation, being able to say, we are outright searching, making sure people aren't gambling, because that's obviously the rule. You weren't really allowed to say that stuff even 10 years ago. So I think that these situations are helping us to be a lot more aware. And these players know it's at the forefront at this point. It's not hush-hush like it used to be. It's talked about these days. It's going to help uncover these messes and these illegal activities, as opposed to everyone keeping this industry hush-hush and not wanting to talk about it.
The Cleveland situation with the pitchers there, it was the opportunity to literally bet on a single pitch, and it was a single pitch that was going to be a ball, and in-game betting could take place on that. The Rozier stuff is more about the full-game prop bets and being able to go under on numbers like points. Should there be any more regulation, any more rules about what can and cannot be bet on based off what we're seeing?
It's a tough, slippery slope. There's already certain things we can't bet on in certain states. Like in New York, you can't bet on MVP markets or anything subjective by voters. You might see regulations state by state of stricter states that decide to start regulating these things. I don't think that there should be regulation on it because, and maybe, of course, listen, on props, you're already capped. You can't bet a certain amount of money unless you're in person betting this extreme amount of money for certain prop bets. Ultimately, I don't think that this is a problem in the mainstream because, again, if you're going to discourage people from betting in legal books, then you're going to encourage them to go illegally bet again. People who want to bet, and now the seed's been placed. So people who may not have bet before the legalization of betting because they were afraid of bookies now might say, I really enjoyed this betting thing. They're going to now seek out negative or illegal ways of betting. And I just, as much as that's not the government's problem, it's not the state's problem, it's not the book's problem of what people decide to do if the book shut this down to protect themselves, I think it loses a lot of business if you start to regulate this stuff. And I think that right now this is such a huge deal because it's the NBA and it's the mafia, and that's, of course, mostly due to the poker games. Let's keep that in mind. I don't foresee the sports books taking this away. Look at Europe. Europe's so much more ahead of us in the sports gambling world. You don't think they've had these issues? Of course, anywhere in the world has had these kinds of issues with gambling. You got to compete in the marketplace. And I just don't think that with all the money the sports books are making, that they're going to be willing to lose this kind of money over this stuff, because just like anything, it all blows over.
The poker side of this thing, does this, Are people going to lose trust in that side of gambling, moving away from sports betting for just a moment? And I know there's a difference between backroom poker rooms being run by the mafia and mainstream casinos, but does this put that thought in people's minds that if they sit down at a table, maybe there's a chance that not everything is up and up?
If you do a private party, sure. But this is, I had this conversation with my grandma. She's a big gambler. She loves it. She calls me the other day and she said, "Is this impacting you? Oh my God, the poker stuff." And she's like, where were they playing? I said, "I don't, like, it was private poker tournament. It was private. It wasn't in a casino." Again, there are so many documents. Look at Molly's Game. I don't know if you saw the movie. Great movie for anyone that loves gambling. Molly's Game is about a woman, true story, who essentially did this kind of rigged poker games, illegal poker games, brought in money. She ended up going to prison, but like, it's a true story and it's a great movie. This has been going on. So for the people that are so ignorant to thinking this is like a first time thing, I just truly believe that people who gamble, people who play poker, people who play blackjack, people who play the slots, people who sports gamble, if you really are someone who's been doing this for a long time or someone who's very much in this industry, you know this isn't a first offense, and you know that this has been going on for way longer than PASPA getting repealed in 2017. There was a whole point-shaving scandal in Arizona where they were paying off a point, like the freshman point guard, I think it was like 50K or something, to miss shots at the last 5 minutes of the game so that they would cover the spread. So again, that was like in the 70s, I think. And there's a whole documentary on it. So again, for the people that just think this is like a brand new thing that's happening because sports betting is so popular, it's the complete opposite. It's an old school thing that's been going on for years.
Ariel Epstein, sports gambling becomes legal in Missouri here on December 1st. I'm sure there's people that are going to be jumping in. They might be especially interested in your content. Give a plug for how people can get connected with everything that you're doing.
Thanks so much for having me on, and great timing, Missouri. No, I'm just kidding. It's a really fun thing as long as you do it responsibly. Check out thepropqueen.com. I have a YouTube at Prop Queen Sports where you can follow along, and we really focus a lot on prop betting, which is like anyone to score a touchdown or over or yonder passing yards. How many points will be scored in a game? And if you want to learn more, definitely check out Prop Queen Sports on YouTube and thepropqueen.com. I have a newsletter as well that goes out with my long list of great props to be looking at on the board each day.
Awesome. Perfect. Ariel, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. That's Ariel Epstein. Join us at Ariel Epstein on Twitter. Again, just headed to thepropqueen.com for all of her content as well. Something to keep in the back of your mind as December 1st is right around the corner here in the state of Missouri when it comes to sports gambling. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Talk a little Blues hockey as they did not look great last night. What does that mean for this team moving forward? We'll discuss in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, Here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it as we roll on here on KMOX. It is indeed a Graybar Sports Open Line. We're taking you until 8 o'clock in the 7 o'clock hour. We've got a lot more coming up. We are going to be joined at about 7:20 by Jason Langendorf. We'll talk all things Illinois football with him. They've got a Illinois' chances to get into the college football playoff are not high, right? Like, we can all accept that. But when we compare Missouri and Illinois, and it's not always fair to compare the two, but when we do, if they both lose their games this weekend, it's easier to still see a path to the college football playoff for Missouri than it is for Illinois. And part of that is to do with just what number loss it would be, but also the opportunities to show how good you're going to be. Now, Missouri's always going to be fighting an uphill battle just because of the decal on their helmet. If they've got the same type of resume when it comes to a multiple loss team as another team that's more of a blue blood type team, if it's an Alabama, if it's a Georgia, whoever, Missouri is going to have a hard time breaking through on that one. I guess we can say the same thing about Illinois, but it feels like there's a better chance that Missouri is going to be in that situation where maybe they're a three-loss team, and you say, look, they are better than some of these other three-loss teams. Are they going to get that credit? I don't know, but we'll talk more about Illinois coming up with Jason here in about 25-30 minutes or so. Want to get into the Blues. I was frustrated last night. I really was, and I say all this with the preface that I really believe in this Blues team. I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to have a good season. I think they're going to be a playoff team. I think they play in a really tough division and a really tough conference. So I don't know what that looks like for them, if they're going to be able to get a top three spot in the division, if they're going to be fighting for a wild card spot. There's going to be a good team or two from the Western Conference that misses the playoffs this year, and there's going to be some not so great teams from the Eastern Conference that are likely to get into the playoffs. I say that knowing that we'll see how everything plays out as the season goes along, but on paper, based off who teams are, that seems like a thing. So if you're the Blues, you don't want to bury yourself, and that's one of the frustrating things that's going on right now. I get frustrated when something happens in sports where a coach or a manager or any type of person in leadership says this period, this moment is really, really important for our team to have success in if we want to put ourselves on the path to these other goals that we might have. And that is what Jim Montgomery did in talking about having a strong start to the season. They wanted to have the strong start to the season because of the number of home games that they were going to have. And they just got done with the 4-game homestand against Chicago, Dallas, Los Angeles, and Utah. They lost 3 of those 4 games. That's not good. They still have 3 more home games in the month of October before, I guess 2 more in the month of October. There's still going to be a fair amount of home games. I mean, you just look at the first half of the schedule. It's going to be a little while till they go on one of those long road trips. It's going to be late November by the time they go on one of those longer type road trips. And then all of a sudden you get into late November and into December. There's a lot of road games, and it sort of evens up for the final third or so of the season. So incredibly important to take advantage because you knew how good they were at home last year. And bluntly, they did not take advantage. So Jim Montgomery talks so much about the importance of the strong start to the season with all the home games. And now the big bulk of those home games, this four-game home streak, it comes to an end, and they're going to hit the road. Now, that being said, on the road this year, they've been pretty good. They went on the road and played Calgary and Vancouver, and they scored 9 goals between those two games. So maybe that's actually what they need right now, but you want to be a team that can go out and be successful at home, and they're just not that, and they're giving up way too many goals. And earlier I mentioned the numbers when it comes to their goaltending. Neither Binnington or Hofer are doing the job that you need them to do. Jordan Bennington's got an .885 save percentage right now. Joel Hofer, it's at .789. He was, I'm not trying to be mean, he was terrible last night. He could not stop a puck last night, and he gets pulled out of the game really early on. I love, by the way, what Jim Montgomery did. There was a lot of focus on it on the TV broadcast, where at a TV timeout, when there was a moment, Montgomery went over to Hofer and had a conversation with him. Hofer was obviously, his facial expression made him look distraught on what was going on. And for Hofer, that was the second time he had been pulled out of a game in a relatively short amount of time. So it's not good when you're a goaltender and you're getting pulled out of games. I know this Blues organization has a lot of confidence and a lot of belief in Joel Hofer. One of the big storylines, one of the narratives coming into the season was that this was going to be a year where it wasn't going to be a 50-50 split, but they were planning on giving Hofer more games and more starts than they gave him last year, that they were going to try to get the split between Binnington and Hofer not to 50-50, but closer to that number. And Montgomery had this long answer about this, saying that when you look at the travel that goes on, especially for teams in the Western Conference, it's really tough on the Western side for a goaltender to play as many games. And Montgomery actually started naming players, both current players and former players, that are known as being the play every game kind of guy. And obviously it's not every game, but you know what I mean? Play a lot of games guys. And they're all from the East. And Montgomery said it, the travel is so much easier in the East. For Binnington's benefit, you really want Hofer to be able to start more, and they're just not getting that right now. They're not. So, kind of an opportunity to reset. You give them credit after they got down big in the first period yesterday. They were able to get things going a bit, but it seemed like it was too little too late, and now they're going to go on the road, and they've got a whole lot of work to do. All right, I'm going to jump back into the betting thing a little bit when we come back after the 7 o'clock hour. How culpable is the NBA in all this? We'll talk about it next here on KMOX.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3, no big contrast. 4, I use it. 5, my mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it here on KMOX as we do roll on into our final hour of the show. We are going to be joined coming up in just a few moments by, actually when I say a few moments, about 10 minutes or so, we're going to talk with Jason Langendorf. He covers University of Illinois, part of the SI team that covers them. And then later on this hour, Patrick Mahomes' weekly conversation. We will play that for you coming up that he does with our sister station, 96.5 at the Fan in Kansas City. Wanted to play you a bit of audio here. And this is ESPN's basketball insider, Brian Windhorst. He went on with Rich Eisen. This is courtesy of the Rich Eisen show. This was Windhorst yesterday talking through what exactly happened when it comes to Terry Rozier and what led to him getting arrested and now not being active.
The NBA at some point is going to have to explain why Terry Rozier was allowed to keep playing. And I just want to point something out.
Mm-hmm.
The sports books caught the irregular betting on Terry Rozier the day it happened, the morning it happened, when all of a sudden there was hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in on Terry Rozier unders for a relatively meaningless game in November. I'm sorry, in March, mm-hmm. involving the Charlotte Hornets. The sports books caught it. They told the NBA right away. And guess what? The NBA, Rozier didn't play the rest of the season. And he had faked the injury, so it wasn't because of the injury. The NBA pulled him. They pulled Jonte Porter, too. They flagged Jonte Porter and pulled Jonte Porter. The NBA's measures, mm-hmm. their protection measures, the sportsbook's protection measures, triggered this. They caught it.
Okay, so now we need to add a little bit of context and a little bit of clarity here. So he said that, Brian Windhorst said that on the Rich Eisen show. And basically what he was saying there is that in 2023, the NBA and sportsbooks caught some irregular betting activity around Terry Rozier, and that when he took himself out of a game, he wasn't actually injured. And when he didn't play the rest of the year, essentially it was an NBA suspension and nothing more than that. Now, here's the context to add. The NBA, since Windhorst made those comments, denied that that was the case. And Windhorst himself has since somewhat clarified those statements as not being completely true, but not really even acknowledging the fact that he said what I just played for you. And Kyle Sixta, I'm going to put on a tinfoil hat for just a second. I'm going to go all conspiracy theory. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
This is the second time I've done this today.
It is.
Bernie and I did this together on Rush Hour Sports. I'm going to go conspiracy theory on this one. It is bad for business for the NBA if people do not trust what is happening on the floor is a legitimate thing. There was the Tim Donaghy thing a few years ago. And for those of you who don't remember, that's the NBA official who was caught making calls to, because he was on, you know, working with sports gamblers, and there was a mafia connection to that, if I remember correctly. There's a great ESPN. There's a great Netflix documentary about that. I think it's part of that that Untold series, which they do a really, really good job on. I would encourage you to check that out. Inside of that documentary, there is a lot of claims from Donaghy that there were a lot more people involved in what was going on, that games were getting fixed in many different areas, and he became a scapegoat because the NBA wanted to brush it under the rug and find a single person that they could blame it on. Donaghy admitted what he did. He never tried to run away from that. He just basically said, look, I'm not the only one here. There was lots of other people doing lots of things inside the NBA, and the NBA knows about it, and they aren't doing anything about it. I found the documentary to be very credible. He, on himself, Donaghy, is not a credible figure because he went to jail for all that. Like he did things that you weren't supposed to do. But in watching that documentary, and a lot of times these documentaries have a little bit of an agenda behind them, and I can succumb to that like when I'm watching something, but I found it to be a possibility. And then I hear Brian Windhorst talking yesterday, and maybe I'm not being fair with this, but honestly, the NBA denying all these things and then Windhorst coming back around and kind of saying, oh, yeah, you know what the NBA said. Of course, these things couldn't have happened. And he says that within a day of saying the other. I find that to be interesting. The NBA and ESPN are in bed with each other. So I'm sure the NBA wasn't real happy that that was being reported by one of their people. And I realize Windhorst's a journalist. I'm not trying to... I kind of am attacking his journalistic integrity. That's not the goal here. But I also understand the world that we live in, and he has to have a livelihood. And is there a scenario where the NBA calls up ESPN and says, what's your guy doing? And the president of ESPN calls up Brian Windhorst and says, what are you doing? And he starts to back off a little bit, even if he does know something to be true. I don't think that's a crazy statement. So there is a scenario, Kyle, that the NBA knew that Terry Rozier was involved in basically not fixing games, but doing things to allow bettors to bet the under, that they suspended him unofficially for a certain amount of time, but then allowed him to come back and play. And they'll deny that. But if that's true, that's a problem.
100%. It's so wrong.
And I think there's a good chance. I don't know if I'm more than 50% on this or not, but I think there's a good possibility that occurred.
The chain of events would make sense, obviously. Yeah. You know, NBA reaching out to ESPN, ESPN to Windhorst. I mean, obviously, we're being conspiracy theorists here, but the motives would make sense.
It would. It absolutely. You can see the connection from one to the other, and that's where. And the fact that this was all pushed, the NBA did not uncover this. They did, originally going back to Rozier. But what happened yesterday was the FBI. This was not the NBA working with the FBI. This was not a joint effort between the sports books and the NBA and the FBI. This was the FBI into an investigation largely fueled by the mafia-related poker games, but also because of Chauncey Billups being involved in both things, a bunch of stuff got connected to each other, and you've got the FBI going and arresting Terry Rozier and these things coming out. If the NBA would have suspended Rozier after that 2023 thing happened and he didn't play since, well, then the NBA has a ton of credibility after that. Even if it never got reported, if we just would not have seen Rozier since then, well, then we can sit here and say, okay, the NBA found it. They didn't want to tank their own business, so they kind of kept it quiet. But this guy hasn't played. The fact that he's played and the fact that there's been these other whispers about things going on, there's just enough here that I think you start to question how much of this is actually happening. And I'm not trying to be a honk here for legalized sports gambling. I'm really not. That's not my goal in all of this. Gambling can be something that people can get addicted to, and it can be a dangerous thing, and I'm not trying to run away from that whatsoever. But when legalized sports gambling becomes the machine that it is right now, these companies can sniff this stuff out so quickly. It doesn't take that much irregular gaming for them to start to red flag some things. And that's where there is a benefit to
to the regulated legal gambling, because this has happened before and it just hasn't been caught because there wasn't really the mechanism to be able to catch it when the gambling that's taking place outside of what's going on in Las Vegas has been illegal and under the table. We will take a break. When we come back, we're going to shift gears in a big way, and we're going to talk University of Illinois football. They've got a very big game coming up on Saturday as they're going to match up against Washington on the road. We'll talk through that in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Welcome back in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Coming up in just a little while, we are going to hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, his weekly conversation with our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. We replay that for you, so that's going to be coming up in just a while. But right now, we are very happy to welcome on to the program. He is the managing editor for the Illinois on SI site, where Sports Illustrated covers all things Fighting Illini athletics. He is Jason Langendorf, and he joins us right now. Jason, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
I'm doing well.
A big one for Illinois tomorrow. They are going to go on the road and take on a Washington team that might not be ranked, but is pretty good. In fact, Washington is favored in this game. For an Illinois team that's lost their two games against really, really good teams, and the schedule is not great from here on out, can you speak to the importance of not just winning this game, but also having a pretty good performance in this game to kind of boost up that resume a bit?
Yeah. I mean, this is, at this point of the season, this is the pivotal game for Illinois. They win this game, things look pretty rosy the rest of the way. They really need to win it. I mean, they need to look good, and that would be helpful. But they really need to win it if they want to keep the college football playoff hopes alive. As far as going to Seattle, playing in Husky Stadium, I mean, if you follow college football, you know how difficult a task that is. It's going to be difficult for them because Washington is a team that a lot of people don't realize. I mean, they may be the best team that's outside of the top 25 right now. And Ryan Walters, their former defensive coordinator, knows as much about them as anybody. So I'm not sure everything stacks up all in Washington's favor this week, but it's going to be tough sledding for Illinois for sure.
You know, one of the odd things about all the college football realignment over the recent years is when there was more stability, when you were playing your conference games, you were comfortable in your environment, even on the road. You knew what you were going into. But here, as these conferences have changed so much, and this is going to continue to happen as teams go into places for the first time ever, or the second time ever, it's a new experience, and that it's a conference game, but sometimes it's almost a conference game that feels like a non-conference game because of the lack of familiarity.
Yeah, and I mean, specifically, if we're talking about the Big Ten, you know, we're looking at Washington, UCLA, USC, their venues and their teams that, speaking of Illinois, that they're seeing for the first time. And also, you know, you got to take into account the time zone issue. Like that's something that's come up before. And, you know, for the Illini, it makes less of a difference than, you know, if it was, say, Rutgers playing at Washington. But it's still one of those things and you know, football coaches are notoriously meticulous and they want to leave nothing to chance, and something like that, you know, keeps them up at night. And, it's tough to know for sure how it's going to affect them, but just between the environment, as loud as Husky Stadium gets, as critical as timing and personnel, and personnel changes on the fly are to Illinois' offense, it's just something that they're going to be dealing with all of Saturday.
All that being said, it certainly is nice to have a veteran quarterback like a Luke Altmyer going into that. I would think that would neutralize some of those advantages that might be sitting there on the road.
100%, yeah. And I think one of the things that you might see from Illinois tomorrow a little bit more than usual is playing with tempo. You know, they've done it off and on this season. you know, Bielema was a little bit upset that they didn't go to it more against Ohio State because it was really working. I thought they should have gone to it sooner. And that might be one way to mitigate those factors that we're talking about. Keep the Huskies from making a lot of substitutions, which is something Walters is known for. You know, take advantage of the spots where they think they can. Keep the chains moving, you know, wear out the defense. But, you know, it's all easier said than done. So
now, from a health standpoint, they get Caden Fagan back, I believe, and he's somebody who was a little bit banged up, but he returns. That two-headed monster that is their running back group with him and Valentine, is this goes to a little bit about what you were just saying, but is that a key here that you're able to feed both of those guys and that they're able to go have some success?
Yeah, I mean, in theory, yes. And as a matter of fact, it's really a three-headed monster if you throw Aiden Loffrey in there. I mean, he started the season as their starter. They all three bring different things to the table, and they're all dynamic enough that you don't know exactly what you're getting from each one. And, you know, in theory, it's a great thing to have. The problem is the offensive line hasn't given them much of a push, and Washington's defense has been pretty stout against the run. One of the things that Barry Lunny Jr., Illinois' offensive coordinator, in my mind, has done is bail out on the run a little bit too soon here and there. And it goes back to what you were saying. When you've got a guy like Altmyer, you know, you can use him almost to supplement your run game if things aren't going well for the running backs. But I just think this is going to be one of those games, especially if the rain plays a factor. You're just going to have to go 11-on-11. You're going to have to win some battles. You know, kind of old school Big Ten style. And Illinois hasn't really shown that they've been able to do that yet this season.
In losses, Washington has averaged just 50 rushing yards per game. They had just 40 in their loss to Michigan. Is this an opportunity for Illinois defensively to try to turn Washington into a one-dimensional offense? And that becomes that much tougher if they do deal with the weather that you alluded to?
Definitely, yeah. I think it's kind of a gut check moment for the defense because it's been a little bit all over the board all season. Has had some success, you know, even against Ohio State, you saw it here and there. But they've got to put pressure on Damon Williams. It's been shown so far this season as dynamic, as productive as he is. The best thing you can do is put some heat on him, rattle him, make him make tough decisions a little faster than he wants to, and that's generally your best bet against them. But they have to stop the run first, and it's one of those things that they just, you don't know what team you're going to get, you don't know what defense you're going to get from Illinois. They're known for being a sure tackling, disciplined team, but this year what we've seen is, you know, it could be injuries or could be a number of factors, but what we've seen this year is a little less of that discipline, a little less of that consistency. And I mean, if you're trying to get teams into third and long, you can't have it on first and second, where you're not making tackles or you're not holding up at the point of attack.
Let me finish you off with this. It's a bit of a prediction from you. If they beat Washington and do so in a somewhat impressive manner, and then if they go win the games you're supposed to win in the final 4 weeks with Rutgers, Maryland, Wisconsin, Northwestern, all looking like very winnable games, do you think that's enough for this to be a college football playoff team, or is it going to just depend more on the climate and what else happens around those teams that'd be kind of in the same spot?
Well, I think it's both. I mean, it's obviously going to make a difference what other teams do as well, the other teams that are sort of in the mix. But I think if Illinois, if they win this one, even if it's relatively tight, even if they don't look great, you know, to go on the road against Washington, Ohio State's the first team that's done it in, I don't know, 22, 23 games, something like that. It's just so difficult to beat them there. And if Illinois can come up with that, you know, they're healthy this week. They're coming off a bye. Bielema has been historically fantastic coming off a bye in his Illinois tenure. If they can win this game, in theory, they should be able to win out, and then you're looking at college football playoff berth, very likely. You're looking at potentially if they go out and they win a game, you know, you're looking at 11 games, 11 wins, which would be a historical high for the program. It's just everything right now, the momentum is going Illinois' way. They just have to go out and win this one to keep it going.
Jason Langendorf, he is the managing editor of Illinois on SI. If you're not familiar with it, it doesn't get as much like publicity as like the 24/7 network and the Rivals network, but SI has a wonderful network of college football sites, and that includes the one for Illinois. It's si.com/college/Illinois. Just do a Google search for Illinois SI and you'll find it. One of the things out there that I don't think people take note of enough, their network of sites that are really good. Jason, thank you so much for your time, and hopefully we can catch up with you again down the line.
You bet. Thanks very much for having me.
You bet. That's Jason Langendorf joining us here on the program, and we appreciate him taking a few moments with us this evening. Here's what we still have coming up in the show. We're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes, his weekly conversation that he does with Carrington Harrison at our sister station, 96.5 The Fan. We're going to play that for you coming up in just a few moments. And then I'm going to finish off. We've actually alluded to the Jets a couple times in the show today. I'm going to play you some crazy audio from Jets coach Aaron Glenn. I'm going to do that at the end of the program. But up next, we hear from Patrick Mahomes right here on KMOX. Welcome back in. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, taking you until 8 o'clock. We have reached that time of the week where we hear from Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs are coming off a good win against the Raiders this past weekend, winning that game 31-0. They get the extended weekend now because they don't play again until Monday night when they match up against the Washington Commanders. We'll have that broadcast for you right here on KMOX. Our coverage on Monday is set to begin at 6 o'clock, so we won't have any Sports Open Line on Monday. We will have Rush Hour Sports with me and Kevin and Bernie, but we will not have Sports Open Line coming up on Monday night. The Chiefs all of a sudden have won four of their last five. They're sitting game over 500 at 4-3. The odds makers list them as the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year. And by the way, with no Chiefs football on Sunday, we are going to still have an NFL football doubleheader here on KMOX. But every week around this time, we listen into a conversation that Mahomes has with our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, talking with Carrington Harrison. And as they opened up their conversation this week, Mahomes has a charitable organization that does a gala every year. They just recently had that gala, and he continues to be very proud of the type of work his organization has been able to do from a charitable perspective.
No, I'm extremely proud. You know, honestly, I started this thing with a vision of it, but it's exceeded my vision. I mean, the fact that Kansas City and all the communities I grew up in have really just embraced it and made this thing even more than I could imagine, it's special. And so it's awesome to see all the things that are happening, because obviously I'm trying to be at as many events as I possibly can be, but I can't be at all of them. And to see how many lives it impacts is always special.
That's what I was just going to ask you. I mean, it has to be a very rewarding feeling. It's not just your teammates. It's celebrities. It's people in the community. Like, this is something that people have really rallied around to support a cause that you feel so passionate in.
100%, and I mean, you said it. It's like it's everybody. It's not just it says 15 of my homies, but it's the whole Kansas City community that's really just helped this thing go and helped make so many great impacts in so many kids' lives. And it's something that I can be proud of more than on the field, but something that I can be proud of is just how the community's rallied behind just each other and made each other a better people and a better place.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick. Let's go back a little bit to the game on Sunday. I mean, everything was working for you guys offensively, those first three drives. What's it like to be in a zone like that, not just on a personal level, but the offense as a whole?
Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, be able to go out there and execute at the level that you want to. I mean, that's what we've been striving for, is to be that good every single drive. And we were able to do that. You know, there was stuff we learned from on the tape and stuff like that. But I thought guys really did a great job of doing their job to the best of their ability and executing at a high level. And when everybody executes, man, we can go out there and have a ton of success.
We talked a lot about you getting back all three of your receivers at one time with Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown. You got them all on the field at the same time. That's not to discredit Tyquan Thornton or Juju or any of the other guys who have had major contributions. But how fun was it to have all those guys available at one time?
Yeah, I mean, you see what we've worked for all offseason and last two seasons, really, and how guys have made themselves better and better and ready for that moment, you know, and it keeps the defense guessing. I mean, obviously, you have those main guys on Hollywood and Rashee and Xavier, but you get guys like Tyquan and Juju and all these guys that get to rotate in, and they make their impact on the game. And so you see that at every single position, the tight ends, the running backs, the receivers, everybody is coming in ready to go, ready to play, and it's showcasing on Sundays with a lot of success.
Let's focus in on Rashee. It's his first game back, first game in a while. It felt like you guys really made a concerted effort to try to get him the ball on the first drive. He had a phenomenal day. What did you see from him on film? How were you excited to see his role expand in the offense?
Yeah, I think you just saw a progression of where he was at last year. You know, obviously the suspension, but the injury as well. You want guys to come back healthy and ready to go. But he did a great job this offseason of working his tail off to get himself back to 100%. And he showcased that in this first game. And now it's about building, you know, him within the game plan and building up the right way. I mean, he hasn't had a lot of snaps in over a year, so you don't want to push too much, but at the same time, man, as a special football player, you want on the football field.
Can you answer this question for me? Where did this tortilla thing come from? Because I don't remember this back in, like, the Michael Crabtree, Graham Harrell days. Where did this tradition come from?
I mean, it was going on then for sure. I mean, it's been going on for, like, 30, 40 years, and there's a couple of, like, myths and stories about how it started, but it happened while I was there. I said to a couple people, man, no one cared about the tortillas when we weren't winning. But now that we're winning, everybody cares about them. So we had to stop them. But it's one of the traditions I loved about Texas Tech and how much the fans care no matter what the score is and want to be a part of it. But they'll find a way, another way now to show their support. And I just know that they'll be there for us week in and week out. And I'm excited for the rest of the season.
I'm not counting your pockets, Patrick, but you got a water endorsement. You got glasses. You got State Farm insurance. You don't have a tortilla endorsement at this point?
No, I don't, you know, but I'm sad to see that we're not able to do it anymore. It's just part of the tradition of Texas Tech. I don't know how it became such a controversial thing, but the tortillas, I guess, got a little too scary for the opponents at the Red Raider Stadium.
Whenever you get tacos, are you going soft shell or hard shell?
I'm soft shell. I like them both, though. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes you get those, like, I think they're called the Gordito Crunches from Taco Bell. I don't eat a lot of Taco Bell these days, but you get that soft shell with the hard shell underneath it. I love Mexican food, Tex-Mex especially.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs for a couple of more minutes. Patrick, the last time you were on, I asked you about Sunday Night Football in your first game. I just looked this up because I completely forgot. Your first four Monday night games were all on the road. Your first Monday night football game at Arrowhead was actually supposed to be a Sunday game. They got moved because of COVID. You guys played the Patriots. I completely forgotten about this until I Googled it like an hour ago.
Yeah, and I presume that Monday game was, I don't know if it was really like night. It was like 5 o'clock or something like that. I put a lot of these big games on the road. I feel like I get a lot of the Sunday night games at home, but the Monday night's on the road. But I'm excited to play one at Arrowhead, man. I mean, it is special playing on Monday Night Football because you're the only show in town, at least this week. You get to have the primetime game. Everybody watches Monday Night Football growing up. You get to go out there and enjoy with your teammates, man. So I'm excited to do it at Arrowhead.
One of these days, Bronze is going to, like, see your highlights, and he's going to ask you questions about the 2020 season, and you're going to have a hell of a time trying to explain to him that you played games in front of zero people.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was, like, a crazy situation. At least at Arrowhead, we had, like, a couple thousand, and you could feel the energy. I mean, some playing at some of the away stadiums, and there was literally no music, no sound, no anything. It was an eerie feeling.
You guys have Sunday free. Obviously, you're going to be around the team. Like, what is your plan for Sunday? What is your plan for the weekend with you guys having a home Monday night game?
It's honestly pretty cool because you get to watch the games with the guys. You know, like you come in, do your mock game, your walkthroughs, and then you go home for a little bit, get a little bit of rest, and pack up, and then you go to the hotel and you're watching some of those ending of those late games, and then you go into the what's called the Sunday Night Football game, which will be a good one. I think it's Green Bay. and the Steelers and Aaron going back home. So you get to watch those games with your teammates, man. That's some of the best memories. You know, you make a lot of memories on the football field, but getting into those meals when you're just with your guys and you're getting to watch football, it's just like anybody else when you're watching football at home. So, I mean, those are some of the best memories that you have throughout your career.
Do you watch just a single game, or are you a red zone guy? Because I love red zone. There's just something special at noon. I get all the games. They're bouncing around the league. Do you like to watch red zone or just one game?
When I got the new house in Kansas City, I got it to where you can, like, get multiple screens, you know? And so that was, like, one of the main things. Like, I didn't ask for a lot. I let Brittany do most of it, but I was, like, the living room TV and then, like, the game room, I want to be able to split the screens up. And so usually I keep to, like, one main game that I like to watch that I'm interested in, but I keep red zone in the bottom corner, and so you can kind of keep see the highlights that are going around the league.
I got a couple more questions for you, and we'll get you out of here. The first thing, Halloween is right around the corner. Do you have your Halloween costume, your plans all figured out?
I do. It's a surprise, though, but we have the whole family. We're ready to go, and it was Bronze's idea. I'll give you a little bit of a hint.
Okay, all right, then. I'm excited for you to be Buzz Lightyear or something here coming up in a couple of days. When it comes to Halloween, where are you at scary movies? Do you like scary movies? Do you have a favorite franchise?
I've never been a scary movie guy. Like, I'm not I was scared as a kid of them, and now it's like – I'm not a big fan of them. Like, if it's on TV and everybody's watching it, I'll watch it. But I'm like kind of closing your ears, you know? Can't the noises and stuff get me? So I'm not a big scary movie guy.
Okay, so I was going to ask you if you like haunted houses. People were making fun of me a couple of days ago when I said, why would I pay $30 to be scared? It just doesn't really make any sense to me. It sounds like you also are not a haunted house guy.
I've literally had that exact argument with Brittany and everybody every single year. It's like, why am I wanting to go somewhere where I'm just scared the entire time? Or I'm kind of like just fidgety. I'm not scared anymore because I'm a little older, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't want people trying to scare me for whatever it is, 10, 15 minutes. So why am I going to wait in line and go to one of these things?
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense. And then people are like, oh, well, you know, at the end, you got to jump out of a window. And I'm like, I'm not trying to jump out of a window. Why would I want to do this activity?
Oh, no, 100%. And I've done the ones in Kansas City, all the main ones. And, I mean, they are awesome. They're cool, but it's just not a thing for me. But I understand people do love them.
We have the World Series here coming up. I've never really got a chance to ask you about Shohei Ohtani. You're a fan of sports. You like basketball, football, baseball, all of these things. Have you ever seen anything like what Shohei did a couple of days ago?
I haven't. I mean, not since, like, Little League Baseball or T-ball or something like that. I mean, it's like I told someone, I was like, man, if I'd have done this as a kid and like go Little League, it would have been impressive. But for him to do it against the best of the best in the world, and to be able to throw 100 with a nasty splitter, on the mound and strike out 10 and then go out there and hit, it wasn't that he just hit three home runs. I mean, he hit three home runs that mattered. I mean, like every one of those mattered to get him, get him to the next round and get him to the World Series, man. He's a special talent, and I mean, he'll go down as one of the best baseball players, if not the best baseball player of all time.
Tomorrow for a day, if you could switch abilities with either Steph Curry or Shohei Ohtani, which one would you be?
I'd be Steph, man. I mean, I feel like I could shoot a little bit, but being able to shoot like that, and then like, can I get his golf game as well? That'd probably give me the added boost for it.
That's the one thing that trips me out about Steph is like everybody has shot a basketball at some point. We all just acknowledge this person is the best ever at shooting a basketball.
100%. And I mean, like, seeing it in person, I mean, he beat my Mavs in the Western Conference Finals a couple years back, and it was like watching him when he gets going and he's shooting, he's not looking at the goal. I mean, that's fun to watch.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. They got Monday Night Football coming up against the Washington Commanders. Pat, good luck this week, my man. We'll catch up with you later.
Yeah, appreciate you.
That is Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes talking with Carrington Harrison from our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. Again, the Chiefs play on Monday night this week. They take on the Washington Commanders, 7:15 kickoff, and our coverage is going to begin at 6 o'clock here on KMOX, St. Louis's home for Chiefs of football. One more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this week's edition of the programs and tonight's show. It's Graybar Sports Open Line. More in a moment here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it on the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Just a few minutes left in the program, and then we are going to be done for the night. I wanted to pass this along. I saw this on social media today, It's not very often that we're going to be talking about the New York Jets on KMOX. There's just, I can go out on a limb and say there's not a whole lot of interest in Jets football. And in case you haven't been paying attention, the Jets are terrible. They are 0-7. They're likely to be 0-8 after they play in Cincinnati against the Bengals this weekend. Their coach, if you did not know, and I'm sure there are people listening right now who could not name the head coach of the New York Jets if they needed to, dude's name is Aaron Glenn. Now, he's somebody you probably really hadn't heard much about. He's in his first year coaching the Jets. It seems like there's a good chance that he's in his only year coaching the Jets if things continue down the path. Now, the season got started, and Justin Fields, the former Chicago quarterback, was the quarterback for the Jets. He was terrible, just terrible. At one point, Glenn was asked in a post-game press conference whether or not there was any question about Fields being the starter moving forward, and he went after the reporter about how dumb of a question that was. Well, not that long later, it certainly looks like Tyrod Taylor, the backup, a guy who's been around the NFL for a while, is going to end up being the starter. Nothing official, though. And what we learned today is not only is Aaron Glenn evidently a bad football coach, he's either having a bad day, and I always say I don't want to judge guys on their worst moment, and maybe this was his worst moment today, although it seems to go along because, like I said a moment ago, he went after a reporter for a very valid question the other day. It would appear that not only is Aaron Glenn a bad football coach, the man is kind of a jerk as well. He was asked today whether or not they were ready to announce who the starting quarterback would be for their game against the Bengals, and this is what this man had to say.
If there was a game today, could Tyrod Taylor physically play?
He is limited, all right, today. I like the way those guys are trending.
So are you able to tell us who's going to... Can you tell?
I cannot tell you that.
But is it because you don't want to, or because...
That's exactly it.
But with Tyrod's situation and question, doesn't that play into this potentially?
That's exactly why I'm not telling you, because I don't want to.
No, but I understand that, but I mean, is it partly because of the injury?
That's exactly why I'm saying it, because I don't want to.
Does the quarterback...
I don't know how many times I got to answer you that. It's not going to change.
Do the players know who the quarterback is?
That's going to be between me and the players.
There are sometimes things that I care about that people listening to this show probably don't care about, right? Like, my job is in the media. I talk to coaches. I'm in press conferences. I host this show. So perhaps, and we're just spending a few moments on this at the end of the show, but perhaps this is something that's going to bug me more than it's going to bug other people. But Aaron Glenn didn't have to say it that way. Glenn did not have to go on this whole... He could have... There are a lot of things he could have said that would have just been a lot more respectful. Hey, we're still evaluating our options. We're still looking at the health of the quarterbacks. But he says, I can't tell you because I don't want to tell you. That's why. And by the way, it is factually incorrect when he says, I can't tell you. He can. He could have told him. He had the ability to have those words come out of his mouth. He chose not to. And they're going to play the whole, you know, competitive advantage card by the other team not knowing who the quarterback is going to be. Guess what? I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals, who are not even a very good football team themselves, I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals are stressing out and putting together two separate game plans and trying to get whatever intel they can get to figure out if it's going to be Justin Fields or Tyrod Taylor. Neither one of those quarterbacks is going to make the New York Jets all of a sudden a incredibly compelling football team. When coaches do that, that's a coach on the way out the door. That's not what, from a decorum standpoint, that's not what NFL coaches do. That's not what people who have respect for others do. From a professional standpoint, that's not what you do. And it is a, I heard that today, and I just, if there was any doubt that Aaron Glenn should not be a head coach in the NFL, that proved it right there. 100%. For him to go out and do that, I'm not going to tell you, look at me, I got this information, and I'm going to keep it to myself, and I'm going to gloat over the fact. There are a lot of times that coaches don't tell reporters information, And they just don't tell them. They figure out other ways around it. We're still thinking through it. It's still up in the air. They never gloat about the fact that I know this information and I'm choosing not to tell you. I can't tell you. Just a terrible look for a guy who's turning out to be a terrible football coach, which shouldn't be any surprise because the Jets are a terrible organization. Lots of just everything terrible connected to them. But that's embarrassing. If I'm a Jets fan, I am embarrassed of my head coach based off him saying that today. And the social media reaction has been very similar to what I just said today. So maybe Aaron Glenn should learn to have a little bit of respect for people who have a job to do that intersects. That's one of the things we're really lucky here in St. Louis. All the people that we deal with from a media standpoint, they know that we have a job. We know that they have a job, and everybody's pretty respectful in the way that it gets done. That is it for the program. Thank you so much for being tuned in. Look forward to talking to you again on Monday for Rush Hour Sports, and then we'll have Chiefs football Monday and back to a full two-hour show on Tuesday right here on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.